Hi, I'm Erin.
And I'm Kimona.
And this is Rebels Advocate, the podcast where we break down the shit show that is the current social climate
and reframe the radical.
Let's get started.
Hi, Erin.
Hi, Kimona.
Welcome to the season finale.
That was a very dramatic introduction.
I like a little bit of drama every now and then.
You're a Gemini, so yeah.
Just a smidgen. The smallest amount.
A smidgen. Of drama. No, that's okay. I also I was talking about like hating change, and my friend was like trying to be like, "Oh, change is good, change is good." And I was like, "Stop trying to change me. I'm a Taurus."
Stubborn as hell.
Mm-hmm. I'm not changing. So what if I freak out that the furniture was moved?
Mm.
Don't do it. Mm-hmm. I'll leave it as it is.
So real. So real. Let's never change a thing.
But I have to because we're adding a new crew member.
A new crew member.
Sam and I are picking up our new kitty cat tomorrow. Aww.
I'm so excited for you guys.
It's weird.
Yeah.
But.
It is.
But Alfredo is joining the team.
Alfredo? Sorry. I just get very excited.
I'm just a good Italian woman who names cats after pasta.
Amen. Amen. As you should. As is your right.
That's what my ancestors would want.
Amen. So real. So real. And I'm very excited for you, and I'm excited to be an auntie.
Again. Exciting stuff. So, that's on the horizon. So, good things, all good things. I miss having a buddy. A shadow.
Yeah.
But
A little friend. We all deserve a little friend in this life.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that little friend may be.
Be like,
ooh, philosophical.
I was like, no she's really. Just going. I wasn't feeling philosophy there. I was feeling rambles.
A little bit of both. What is philosophy if not a little bit of rambling?
Speaking of rambling, I ran into today the professor from my first year as a doctoral student who basically forced me to get disability services. And she's like, oh my gosh, how are you? How are things? And I'm like, I'm on meds now. And she like laughed hysterically.
That is beautiful.
She was like, okay, not what I meant, but so good to hear. And then I was like going on a whole thing and I was like, yeah, you know, I diagnosed myself after college and then got an official diagnosis and then sought out meds, finally got on meds, but like I never thought I had to deal with it, blah, blah. And she's like, but you don't have to deal with it. And I was like, that's the one. You don't have to just suffer and make your life harder. You can do something about it. It's wild. So it was funny and kind of full circle because I was like, ha, you are the one who, you know, it upset me at the time because my whole life has been about going undercover ADHD because I masked so hard based on anxiety, perfection. And all my tools were manageable for such a long time. And at this point, it was like, oh, that's not enough anymore. I mean, like, big shocker, being a doctoral candidate is what takes it out of you. But yeah, I thought it was very full circle and a very strong testament to the theme of what everyone's been telling me lately, that not only do I do too much, but that it's like a little bit of like the suffer in silence kind of type, but also just like the theme feels like you don't have to do this. Like you don't have to be the friendliest person in the room. You don't have to ask everybody questions about themselves. You don't have to take on another job. You don't have to suffer without medication.
so real.
And I feel like that's been my little journey as of late. And if you're a patron, you and have read my newsletters, it's pretty much been the theme of the season of talking about like radical rest, taking breaks. And like, that's what I leaned into of the new year, like rest and really figuring out what that means to me and actually doing it.
Beautiful. And I love that that moment happened, because like that was like one such a good segue, but really like a testament to the importance of like self-advocacy and also sometimes listening to the people around you who say, hey, do you need to advocate for yourself in this way? And Erin, you are that person for me a lot.
<laughs> you know this. that's the wild thing, right? And like why people like myself, like you, and like how we go under the radar, because I will tell everyone and their mother that they're not advocating for themselves, that they're not doing this, not doing that. And I'm tired of, I mean, that's what I said in one of my newsletters, like really just basing it off a conversation that you and I had, like, we shouldn't have a podcast then. We don't deserve this platform, and we shouldn't be allowed to say these things if we're gonna be hypocrites and not live our own values that we constantly tell people to do. And in all other contexts, you know, being a hypocrite would be our worst nightmare. And everything that we say in terms of allyship and advocacy and doing things for others, we live through and through. But when it comes to our own advocacy work on ourselves and that reflection of boundaries and what do I need and how do I care for myself and not pour from an empty cup? And I quite literally do this for most of my jobs. I give therapy to patients and cancer families constantly. I have literal workshops about self-care and reiterate this constantly. And I just want to live my own values and live that truth, because, you know, especially anxious folks and high achieving folks, you get this ideology that like, okay, that makes sense. I understand, but that won't work for me. I'm the exception. I'm the one that doesn't need a break. I'm the one that can't have that. And it's just simply not true. And sometimes I like to be so real with myself and others. I know I've said this to you. I've said it to my mom. I'm like, why do you think you're so special?
That's a good one.
Why on earth do you think you are so very interesting that you are the singular person that this won't apply to?
Yeah.
And it goes for so many things. Like even when I am anxious and I'm like having a panic attack and it's like, I know that this can't last. Not possible. Me, a scientist, literally not possible to be in a panic attack for that long. That's what makes it a panic attack. But somehow when it's happening, my brain says, nope, you're going to be the first ever documented person to get stuck like this. And I think that that just goes to all of it, right? Like being a rebel and being an advocate is giving so much of yourself to others. We really need to find ways to actually radically rest. And that's why we talk about radical rest. What does that even mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's so important thinking about self-advocacy and self-care when we're particularly like talking about like, you know, the broad spectrum of social justice issues that we are passionate about and about being an advocate for others, because like you said, you can't pour from an empty cup. And I've been really thinking about this a lot in the concept of like community care and the importance of community, and just realizing that to be able to properly advocate for a community also means to be able to advocate for yourself and your needs, because one, you want to reflect the work that you are enacting for others, and two, your community counts on you to also be okay. And I think this moment, this really clicked for me in one of our conversations, Erin. I don't remember where we were. I don't remember how it came up. I referenced this to other people where you were just like talking to me about all of the things I complain about in life and all of the things that were bothering me. And talking about, and I think you said something along the lines of like, but what are you like doing about it? Because you're my best friend and it hurts me to continue to hear you say all of these things and not change them when some of them are in your control. Like, it hurts me to hear you keep hurting.
Yeah. I remember where I was.
You remember? I don't remember the location.
I was in my bed. It was... I think this was the same conversation, although I probably said it in so many ways and so many different times, but like, I feel like it was also kind of like an epiphany moment for me too, saying it, because I don't know, in our dynamic too, like, I'm like, if I can say these things and want her to believe it, why does it not apply to me? You know? And I remember yelling at you and being like, can you stop being mean to my best friend?
Yeah.
Like, that's, I'm not going to tolerate you talking shit about my best friend. I'm not going to tolerate you not feeding my best friend and taking good care of her. Like, that doesn't work for me. So I said, you know, like, if you put it in those terms for people who are such givers, it's like, fine, don't do it for yourself then. Do it for me. You not taking care of yourself hurts me because that's my best friend. So it's a kind of a roundabout way. And maybe that doesn't get to the root for a lot of people. And this is the therapist talking, but like, you know, that is kind of a band-aid, right? Like, the goal isn't take care of yourself for someone else. The goal is that you get to a place where you're doing it for you. Mm-hmm. I'm not at that place. I've been doing this work for a long, long time, both individually. I've been seeing a therapist since I was 13, and as a professional, and it still doesn't come naturally to take care of myself, to just take care of myself. A lot of the times I have to kind of trick myself into doing it by saying, if I don't, I can't do this, and I can't keep doing Rebels Advocate. I can't keep helping and volunteering. I can't pursue this degree. I can't exercise because then they'll be mad that I missed the class. Like, sometimes I just need to go the extra mile, and that's okay. As long as we're also reflecting on the fact that like, that's not the end goal. But it's a good place to start.
Absolutely. And I think it was such a necessary framing for me to begin. I feel like I've been on like a health and wellness journey, not in like the typical sense that people think of when one says that, but in a like, I've been really trying to like actually take care of myself and take control of the situations where I can and advocate for myself. And that's not always easy. I am not going to sit here and tell you, oh, I've had such an easy time doing this. Like, no, I have sat through conversations and cried. I have sobbed on the phone to people. I have cried to my therapist about things. Like, this is hard work. But you got to find your starting place. And then it slowly, ever so slowly, becomes easier and easier to take those little steps. And that's, I don't know, that's like kind of beautiful.
It is. And it is a journey. It's lifelong. You know, there's going to be, which is weird because you think like at a certain point, like, haven't I done all of this? Mm-hmm. Haven't I gotten better? But, you know, I've framed in different ways for people lately about like aging and such of like, I'm like, you don't even know the best versions of your life yet. You don't even know, because like, I've had conversations about people having a hard time with their kids growing up and having a hard time with that. And I keep reflecting on it. I'm like, but you don't even know yet, right? Like, your children and your future selves, like, we don't know all these wonderful versions of ourselves and the people that we love. We haven't even gotten there yet. And I really love the future. It's a downside of my personality that I ruminate so much on like what ifs, but and why I over prepare for everything. But I think there's so much beauty in the fact that you could have so much more and so much better. And it's just like, I think I was in this same conversation with someone and I said, I'm like, cause it was something about birthdays and aging and whatever. And like beyond the classic and that I do say all the time about like, it's a blessing and like, you're not guaranteed that, but isn't aging actually not one day closer to death, but actually gaining a day? Because every day that you complete, you got an extra day of your life. And I was saying it like in the moment, just as is. And I'm like, that's really it, isn't it? We always act like we're the day ends and we got one, we're one less, one day closer to losing the things that we love and the things that we care about. And I was like, but doesn't it also mean that we just got an extra day? Because I didn't have to have today. I wasn't guaranteed that. And I think having that kind of mentality of like
real
the mortality and the finiteness of life is such a great way to be living your values and prioritize some of those things. Because when you do lean into the things that I don't always love about my personality of always being in the future, you're not guaranteed that. So am I going to waste the time that I have currently and not experience joy and rest? And like, if I just grind and only work and I'm not promised tomorrow, that's my legacy. I can't wait for the future to be the good part. So just like truly living my values every moment. And I've always known that I don't want to be a person who lives with regrets and dies with regrets. And I truly live every moment of my life knowing that like I'll take full accountability for it. That was my decision. I'm prepared for what that means. I don't regret anything in my life, even the really crappy things. And I feel like that's a really just a much smoother way and easier way of getting through. Hashtag philosophy minor.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I talked about being philosophical earlier.
Oh, I talk about it all the time with my patients because I get philosophical. And I was like, what's always hard to explain too, because I'm like, I took enough classes to major in it. I just didn't get a double major because I wanted to take the classes I wanted, not like the requisites. But I took enough classes to have been a philosophy major. I love it.
Honorary philosophy major in my book. Real. So real. But yeah, one of the things that I wanted to talk about, because I think it's I mean, at least for me, I find that like often, you know, we can talk about like the concept of things, but like how do you actually do it? Like that's where I get stuck a lot with things. And recently I have been really implementing some of this into my life. And spoiler alert, people don't always like
who told
when
you that?
You start advocating for yourself.
Just curious.
You know,
experienced therapist name Aaron Benedict. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and you. No, people really don't like it. Especially when you're coming from, like, the way that I tend to be with people and have been historically is I'm very much, you know, people pleaser, saying yes to all of your needs. Sometimes even, like, going against my own personal boundaries to make somebody else more comfortable, to make somebody else feel better. And I'm like, cool, like, you're set, great, I've done my job. But then where does that leave me? Right? Where does that leave that care for myself, for my needs, for my wants, for my desires? And I think it's so important to just like, one, recognize that, and two, figure out like, what are those active steps you can take to like, really just set up those boundaries, and really just like, say no. Like, that's hard. And I have been using some roundabout thought processes to do this. I've been calling this my villain era.
not being overly nice and people pleasing doesn't equate to, because that's all the way up here. That's at a 20.
Correct, and you and we're just asking you
to come back down to like the mm-hmm. scale.
yeah, and you know you're so right. But oh, it's of course. Also a little bit
and if it was me, I would era. Also say that. But as a therapist, I'm going to tell you that that's a no.
Yeah, no, and my therapist has also been like, "Hey, you know, you're just like asking for people to respect you, your time, your energy, right?" And I'm like, "What? No, that's crazy."
Of course you do, because you, in the same reason that why people don't like when you start asserting yourself, establishing boundaries and doing this basic level of respect for yourself and asking that of others is quite literally taking something away from them. Although you're providing more than they should have, they are used to you accommodating them and making their life easy mm-hmm. and are used to a certain level of you taking care of them in whatever way that means, right? Taking on extra hours at work, doing free labor, buying dinners for people when and not asking for them to Venmo you back. Like, there's all these elements, even emotional labor, constantly being the friend that is there when your friend is having a crisis. All of those things require a lot of you. And if they get that and you take that away from them, you are the villain to them in that moment. They hate it. And seeing the full picture is really hard, especially depending on how long you've been doing it. And then, of course, there's nuances in relationships and jobs that there's some level of feeling like owed this. It's part of your job description as my employee, my sibling, my daughter, my partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that is so real. And I've just been, it's the little things, right? It's like these little things where it's just like, oh, someone will ask me if I want to go do something. And instead of immediately saying yes, I'm actually considering if I would actually like to do this thing or if I'm just going because I feel like yeah. I have to. And that makes yeah. me a villain in my brain. But we're going
listen,
with it.
I'm,
and we're working
I have long
it.
Established that mentality in my life. And it is weird. People stop inviting you to things. People stop seeing you a certain way. I mean, I'm almost a year free of drinking alcohol and a couple years ago, or people that you talked to from a couple of years ago could not even fathom a version of me that wasn't partying and going out and doing those things. And at this phase of my life, for the things that I value and enjoy, that's not for me anymore. And it's weird. People don't like change. I mean, in a strange conversation that both hurt and was kind of wonderful was, you know, talking about this kind of growth with my mom recently and reflecting on how much I've changed. I'm like, oh, isn't it so funny when I go to restaurants now that I'm like, hi, I can't have gluten, dairy, I don't drink alcohol. What do you got? I limit my caffeine intake. Like, I'm just a very, very different person. And like, sometimes I think about 16-year-old me who had an alcohol problem and was infinitely more anxious and half my size and all of those things, you know, would she even get it? And my mom had said, she was like, yeah, I've had two different daughters. And that is going to stay with me forever. I just know it. And it hurt because I'm like, I'm me. And I like to think about the fact that 16-year-old me maybe wouldn't understand, wouldn't recognize me, and would have initial feelings to the fact that I'm overweight and don't drink and all these things. But also, so much of me is what she always wanted. And so much of me has literally not changed at all. Mm. I have always been this loud mouth advocate for everyone. I've always been this. And it's always been polarizing. People either love me or hate me. And I am quite literally doing the career that little me has always wanted to do. I'm with a partner that I couldn't imagine a better relationship with. It'd be better if we weren't poor. But like, so much of my life, a younger version of me could never understand why this would make me the happiest. And I am truly, despite all of the other crap and how hard these past few years have been, how hard and difficult and not well I'm doing, I am also the happiest I've ever been. So yeah. Boundaries.
That was beautiful. Love them. Hell yeah. They're important. They change your life. They truly are life-changing. And like, this is coming from someone who has only recently really started sticking to the boundaries I have put up in, like, just like across my life broadly, but like, I'm talking work, I'm talking family relationships, I'm talking friendships. Like,
incredibly.
There's also something so freeing about it, about being able to say, actually, no, this is what I need. If you want me to be successful in this role, if you want me to be happy to be your friend, if you want to be in my life consistently, this is what I need. And I can't budge on these things.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a lot of change. You do lose a lot of people. Again, they will not like you asserting their boundaries. Even the best people in your life, because again, they're used to a certain version of you and you're taking that away. And then of course the people that are kind of the ones who are draining and using you will fall to the wayside. And it's a lot. It's a lot. And there's many parts of the journey where you'll feel like you're doing the wrong thing. How could you be doing the right thing when all of this is happening? But on the other side of it, it's worth it. and it looks different for everyone, right? Like a lot of the things that have happened have been gradual, and it's not like you have to stop drinking and partying to be on this other side, right? Like that's just what worked for me because of the values that I actually have and have had the whole time, realizing that what I was doing was contradicting that. And the things that I do value weren't being able to be addressed because the things I was doing wasn't serving those goals. And yeah, I think the little things is what's interesting, right? Because, and why it's so exhausting and freeing and energizing, because like I said, that you're expending an incredible amount of energy to be on all the time, the most friendly, the most generous, whatever value you want to substitute that for. You spend a lot of energy being this person and not allowing yourself to have grace and rest and receive these positive things that you give to others. I mean, receiving things is a big one for me. As Kimona well knows, I do not receive things well. And I mean, my parents know too. Every time I come home, I like walk in and I'm like, don't you dare give me something. but yeah, and like material or emotional, like receiving the good that you put out in the world can be very difficult. In terms of, I think my epiphany moment as of late has really been the way it accumulates over time, that all of the little things that I do are contributing to my burnout and the lack of rest. I've been struggling with, because I felt like I've been implementing more rest. Like I've been I did take the trip to Vermont. I do play way more video games. I do keep my weekends relatively open. I say no to a lot of social things. And I'm like, how is that not equating? How do I not feel better? And thinking of it as a math equation or a scale, like I'm trying to say that X amount of rest equates to all these things that I do. And it's certainly not balanced. But even in that respect, I'm accounting for my responsibilities, like work, household chores, maintaining a relationship, maintaining friendships, like all of those things. And I am doing a good job of accounting for that, not just the work part. Right. But I'm not accounting for the fact that I ask everyone that I see how they're doing and try to remember little details about their lives. And if there's any kind of dead silence, I'm adding into more. For why? For why? I mean, it's wonderful to be that person, but not when it's coming at the expense of your well-being. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, coming back to this, like, you do not have to. And the same thing, like, if I'm in between things, I somehow, instead of taking the 5 to 10 minutes to breathe, have a drink of water, stretch, look at my phone, I'm trying to do something else productive. If I work from home, I will literally take any 5-minute interval to do like a household chore. It's insane. A lot of it is ADHD driven, but
real
this insistent need to be productive. Yeah. And again, the most everything is contributing so much on the side of the scale of like what's costing me. And I'm only giving myself some rest to somehow balance all of that. Of course it's not working. And this is like a revelation I've had in the last like couple of weeks. And it was truly from feedback from all the people in my life pointing it out. And yeah, I think that that's the big change. Having a third party, whether it's a therapist, a supervisor, a friend, a family member, to point out things that you don't notice when you're living your life, when you're in it, it's really Absolutely. Impactful. What else are you doing or would suggest doing from
Wonderful your current question, journey Aaron.
In terms of boundary setting?
I mean, the first thing that I want to touch on that I was thinking about as you were talking about rest is, one, knowing and thinking about the different types of rest. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's been something kind of newer for me. I get a lot of physical rest. I'm able to set aside that time. I'm like, I'm going to bed. And if I have a day off where it's the weekend, I let myself sleep in. Like, the physical rest is not often the problem for me. But, like,
I don't sleep or eat.
Yeah. I'm working on the eating one. We're seeing a nutritionist.
I do that, too.
Yeah. We're working towards it. But there are 7 different types of rest. Like, that's a lot of different rest you could be getting. So, like,
according to,
I just keep seeing a lot. I don't know who started this. I don't know if it's real, like, for real, real.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Is it like a, yeah, just like who came up with it?
But whatever. But anyways, you can, like, taking account of the things that bring, that not only bring you joy, but leave you feeling revitalized, leave you feeling energized. And, like, of course, like, you're gonna be a little tired if you, like, spent an evening out, whatever. But, like, if you're hanging out with your friends and after you are absolutely insanely drained, that's not a good sign. Like, we want people around us and in our lives that pour back into our cup as well. You shouldn't feel like you're constantly pouring out and no one's ever pouring back in.
I mean, it also can be kind of experimental.
Yeah.
Like, here's the researcher in me coming out. But when you kind of have to be a detective and figuring out what these things are. And if you're doing a lot of different types of things and figuring it out from when you have so much involved and are really not sure what's burning you out, you have to play around. Are you coming home from a social gathering being burnt out and drained? Is that because of going out? Is that because you're doing too much work beforehand so you don't have time for free time? Is it the people that you're around? So from a research standpoint, you might have to control for some of those things. And that would be saying, like, I know that if I go to the farmer's market today, that's a good thing. I'm going to be in a good mood. I enjoy that. That'll lift me up. You go with a friend that you weren't so sure about and you come back drained, it's the friend. So kind of like parsing that apart of what it is can be really hard because it's time consuming, but, you know,
yeah,
just doing a little detective work of like what's working for you. One of the ways
that I have thought about distinguishing this is the difference between like coming home and being like exhausted and beat versus I'm sleepy. Like I'm ready for bed now, but I had a really good time. Like it's a different feeling. And when you start
100%
to like really acknowledge it, like that's when you're like, oh, like these things make me feel a different way. And I think we can apply that to a lot of different activities, right? A lot of different things that we do in life. And of course, I'm not saying there's a fix for everything. Like we still gotta work. We live in a capitalist society. I'm not saying I come home from work every day. I'm like, I'm just sleepy. What a great day. No, absolutely not. That's not realistic. But if there are things that you can do to change the outcome a little bit, like, let's do them. Like, one of the things I've started doing more is ordering my groceries. And I recognize that also that is a thing that is a privilege. But why are we not using everything that you have available to you to make the changes that you can? And, you know, acknowledging that not everyone's going to make all the changes, and, like, some of the easiest and, like, best changes are often, unfortunately, like a privilege and require more money because capitalist society. But
they're not permanent changes.
Right.
So like that's the thing is like if you have the access and ability to do certain things, I know for a while like my therapist's suggestion was like, so you need to order takeout then to eat, then you need to do that because that's the priority. Mm-hmm. And I work with a lot of people, especially around eating. A lot of my clients that I work with, I'm like, if you eat a bagel for every meal, I'm okay with that. If that gets you to eat 3 meals a day, that's a win in my book. Long term, no, I would not love that. That's going to have some consequences.
Definitely.
But these are temporary fixes that get you to the point of being able to do the next thing. It becomes natural. It becomes ingrained. And that's what we do as therapists. Like we encourage, especially in behavioral changes, like I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist. That's how I work. And some of my supervisors will tell you I'm very behavioral heavy. But yeah, it's also temporary. So you don't have to commit to doing something forever.
Real. That one is all, like, that's so important too. Cause I think a lot of the times, at least for me, I'm like, I'm going to do this thing and now it has to become the way I do this thing forever. No, it doesn't have to be.
You know, I was having an interesting discussion with someone unrelated, but there did come a positive outcome of it. They said something about themselves, but I think the takeaway is super great that once they realize that they have autonomy over their life, it was a big shift. Like just because you commit to something. And I was like, yeah, that's totally true. Just because we have this understanding as a whole, especially overachievers, anxious folks, we have this idea that like once you commit to something, that's it. That's the decision. There's no coming back from that. Again, privilege allows for people to do these things, but you hate where you live? You can break your lease. It's not the end of the world. If you have the money or a place to go, if the house being housed isn't the obstacle, you can break a lease. You can, like, things like that that feel so a hard deadline. You go to a job and it's awful and you know within a month that it's not going to get better. You can quit. And these are things, I'm telling you, like, these are things that would make me lose my mind as well. Mm-hmm. I would never quit a job in a month. But why not? Right? Like, you have autonomy to make these decisions, and advocating for yourself comes from a space of knowing you know yourself best. And there's times that, you know, these things can become slippery slopes, and you might be quitting a job because of avoidance and other things. And I will, again, to put the therapist hat on, I will say with all of these things in mind that you're changing things in your life and you're doing the controlling for things and figuring out what it is that's draining you. If you're still feeling this way as like a baseline, it's really important to know that you could be experiencing depressive symptoms, anxiety symptoms that are indicative of something more that requires more than just like life changes. So if you notice that you're feeling like this and things aren't bringing you joy or things that brought you joy before and aren't, or have thoughts of harming yourself or others, that is the time to seek help. There is the National Suicide Hotline for immediate resources. I would also encourage you to look into seeing a therapist, even if it is short term, even if it is something like, even though there's platforms that I don't love, like obviously you're not going to get the best care in the world if you go see a social worker that has to see 600 people. That's obviously an exaggeration, but you get what I mean. Mm-hmm. There's resources available and things exist, like my own clinic that has sliding scales that some of our patients quite literally only pay $5. So if there's things in your way that are preventing you from getting that, just know that there are other resources, and starting from those baselines is a great help. If you're LGBTQ+, there's the Trevor Project that is a great way to start, because that can help you filter things that are gender and sexuality affirming. And depending on where you live, if that's a safe place to be. So just take this all with knowing that it's not sometimes just as easy as changing your life. Also, like, coming from Kimona and I, we see therapists. Mm-hmm. We're on medication. Like, we cannot be, I cannot be at my baseline to make changes and progress in my life if I'm not medicated and seeing a therapist, which is why I do it. Because once I'm feeling more like myself without, you know, the mental illness in the way, I'm able to use my coping skills and use these strategies and practice what I preach. So that is my soapbox as a professional and someone who loves you.
Aw, a very good soapbox. I love when you get up on your soapbox and just give us a wonderful little spiel for the pod. But yeah, and I think all of these things are really important little nuggets of knowledge that we can leave y'all with as we are approaching a little bit of a break, a little bit of our, what do they call that when you take a break between seasons? I feel like there's a name, but I'm blanking.
I mean, I don't know for between seasons, but like sabbatical.
Sure, we'll call it a little sabbatical. Why not? I love that. I've always wanted to go on a sabbatical.
Okay.
This is not quite exactly that. I will not be going anywhere or doing anything that different.
Yes. So that is the conclusion of season 6 and 3 years of pod. There's more to come. 3 years. 3 years in October, honey. We're moving past that. So we'll be closer to 4 by the time we return with season 7. We're going to do some brainstorming and figuring out where we want to take this and keep going. We're definitely not leaving, but we just want to take the time to figure out where we want to go. So TBD on when we will return. I know we usually take the summers off, so this is early, so we'll figure it out and keep you posted. So staying informed on our pages, super, super important, over on Instagram. And our Patreon will have regular content available. So if you don't want any pausing in your material of Rebels content, there won't be. So you can still get newsletters over on the Patreon throughout the break. And yeah, like Kimona said, little nuggets of wisdom, some reflection on what we've been learning over the course of this season, and reflecting on a little bit more about us as individual people. I think it's really important that we have these conversations, not just always topical what's going on in the world, because at the end of the day, Rebels Advocate is about people and being the best advocates and allies as that that we can be. And for that, we need to know how to be advocates for ourselves. And we've done a lot of reflecting of that this year and this season. So we thought that that was a really good culmination of everything that we've talked about pretty much every newsletter I've done this season. And just remind you all that we're on this journey too. 3 years of the pod, certainly not experts, but learning and growing.
Learning and growing every day. And if you would like to keep up to date, see what we're doing over the break, see the notifications for when we're coming back, you know where to find us. But just in case you need that reminder, we're on Instagram at Rebels Advocate Pod and on the general interwebs at rebelsadvocatepod.wordpress.com.
And the best way to support us while we're away, you can either join our Patreon for as little as $1 a month for extra content and supporting your favorite podcast. We also have a merch storefront over on our website. So the break is the best time to catch up on old material, anything you missed, but also to take time to yourself. So if you need us, you know where to find us, but off to radically rest. Bye.
Bye.